blow them up. It's trade secrets now. The dubious crew's got beats for you. Oh,
it's trade secrets. Trade secrets. Trade secrets. These heads will finally peep this. Trade secrets. Trade secrets. You don't need Converse speakers. Trade secrets. Trade secrets. These beats blow up your speakers.
Hey, yo, Chris, trade secrets.
Trade secrets.
This one is for my peeps on the streets, that's how it's meant to be. So nod your heads and feel the beat, we're tasting victory. Embrace the macrolicious with beats delicious. No negative vibes here, we playing the sphere. Know my style is so high tech, you catch a critical beat down. Hip hop's illest sound, boy, burn your lyrical streets down. I wanna bake my cake and eat it too. These golden beats will see us through the Trade Secrets Volume 2.
Hi everybody, this is Trade Secrets. I'm Adam Curry, sitting here nice and pretty in Curry Castle in Belgium.
Hey, it's Dave Weiner here. I'm not very pretty, but I'm in Seattle, Washington.
I said I was sitting pretty. I didn't say I was pretty.
You were very pretty. I've heard people say that about you. All the girls at BloggerCon, like, they all crowd around Adam, and I ask them why. Oh, well, he's so pretty.
Yeah, but you know what? No one makes any indecent proposals to me ever.
Really?
Never. Never, ever.
How unfortunate. It's probably that sort of blonde, wholesome look that you've got. And, you know, they're more likely to offer you a milkshake.
Hey, Dave, fuck you very much.
It's okay.
So this is our...
My pleasure. I mean, not really. Thank you. You're not exactly my type.
But I'm blonde.
Anyway,
come on.
So here we are. Self-congratulations are all in order. We finally, after much trial and error, we think now, knock wood, praise Murphy, I'm not a lawyer, my mother loves me, et cetera, et cetera, all other disclaimers apply. We've been spending most of today, it's now 11:37 a.m., most of today from my point of view, most of the evening from Adam's, to try to get this this cross-continental internet radio program thing working, and perhaps now we actually have it working. What do you think, Adam?
It seems to be, although the magic moment is about 6 minutes and 22 seconds. That's when Wiretap, which I'm using to record the signal of both my microphone and the signal that's coming in from Seattle from Dave, that was kind of like the max, and that would just flip out and freeze up, and it did some nasty stuff. But it seems to be working now. We switched. We were doing it with Skype, which although has a beautiful sound quality and the latency is very low, I think probably because it's beta on the Macintosh, and I'm running a Mac and Dave's running Windows, that for that reason is doing something, that the 6 minutes was the magical moment, and it just wasn't working. But this really, from a broadcast perspective, this is blowing me away, because when I was doing radio, or television for that matter, if you wanted to bring someone into the show, you either had to call them via phone, which, you know, is that very definite phone sound, or you have to get a satellite uplink, get someone to go sit in the studio, or if you're really lucky, then you can put in a lease line. And the internet has always been the promise for broadcast, like, hey, you know, we can connect everyone everywhere from any place. And I haven't seen much more in technology when it comes to stuff like this than the video phones on CNN. You know, I don't think many people are using the technology this way, but it seems to be working. And the idea is that we'll do, I'm going to be very careful and say, a weekly program, and just shoot the shit together. We've been friends for a number of years, and we've been talking about doing a show like this for a number of years. We've been talking about working together for a number of years.
Well, you know, it's our phone conversations generally sound like they would be, you know, good things to share with other people, because, you know, we put things on our to-do list, our respective to-do list, and somehow don't seem to ever get them done. So this way, at least the ideas that we have may get out there, you know, and maybe we'll have some fun with it, you know, along the way. And, you know, so we'll see what happens. So
a reminder
what should we talk about today, Adam?
Well, first of all, a reminder that all of our listeners are under non-disclosure. That's what Trade Secrets is all about.
Yeah, we'll get to that at some other point in time, but just for now, you're not allowed to tell anybody about this or what we're talking about or any of that kind of stuff.
Well,
and anything you tell us, of course, anything that other people tell us, of course, is not confidential.
No, we'll obviously discuss it here.
Everything that we tell you, however, is confidential. That's the premise of the Trade Secrets. We're going to trade secrets here quite out in the open, but you know, they'll be your secrets, not ours.
So today
today
being September 16th, 2004, it's Thursday evening where I am. It's about 8:40 now, p.m., and we've spoken a couple times in the past 2 hours, and now we're finally recording everything, but you've been really excited, Dave, about what's been going on with Bush.
Well, mostly it's been what's been going on with CNN. I mean, they've been intermixing CNN coverage of Hurricane Ivan with coverage of the, you know, campaign, the presidential campaign. And when we were talking before, it was like this wonderful magic little moment. They had President Bush climbing the stairs to Air Force One, and he sort of, you know, his shoulders were slumped, and, you know, he was looking, and he turned around, he looked really tired and you know, kind of confused, and he waved, and as he was waving, the headline comes up on the screen, "The Future of Iraq." And I thought, wow, well, this is what lies in the future of Iraq. And how appropriate.
You know how that works, you know, Dave? You know how that works? That they're sitting in the control room, right? And there's a million things going on. And someone says, all right, bring up the lower third of Iraq. All right, go Chiron, you know?
But somebody, they must have a resident comedian who's picking the exact moment to put that on, don't you think?
Well, he's surely the same guy who, I put that on my weblog, who identified the Czech Republic as Switzerland on a nice slide on CNN. That was good.
Yeah, he was also the guy that played the Howard Dean scream 80,000 times and knocked him out of the race.
Well, that's, you know,
something happened in the last 24 hours or whatever, sometime pretty recently. I think CNN decided that they want Kerry to win the election, and so now the spin is heavily, heavily in favor of Kerry and heavily against Bush. They make Kerry look good in every chance they get, and they make Bush look like a complete loser, which, you know, not totally appreciated. I mean, I thought about this in between our various meltdowns that we had today, is like, you know, he is our president, and, you know, why, you know, I've spent a lot of time in the last few months reading books about the American presidency and, you know, dignified people like George Washington, Teddy Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, even Lyndon Johnson, John Kennedy, even Ronald Reagan, you know, that they sort of had a presence that you kind of, you know, you don't want to, I mean, they are the president of the United States, and, you know, it's disrespectful to the United States. However, Bush is such a lout. He lies to me so much, and he clearly doesn't want, he wants support without deserving support, whereas a guy like Truman had to put up with a lot of crap from McCarthy and from MacArthur, and had, you know, through all of it, he kept his head, you know, high, and, you know, he always said things like, the buck stops here. And I think Kerry's line about how, you know, Bush just, the buck just cruises right by his desk.
Dude, Kerry should do that. He should just say the buck stops here. Why is he can hijack that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Kerry is getting some good advice. I think he's got some people sitting next to him on the campaign plane who are
Carville.
Not just sort of, I don't think Carville's actually on the plane. I think a lot of that is, I think it's the guy that was in the Dukakis campaign, which everybody sort of, you know, laughed at, but he got fired from the Dukakis campaign for being too aggressive. So right. I think it was Dukakis' fault that he got, you know, they got pulled out of there. I think Kerry's going to pull it out. I think Kerry's going to win, and I think he's going to win with the help of CNN, but it feels like nobody's, or I don't know, feels like nobody's buying Bush's bullshit anymore.
Can I throw a conspiracy theory on you there for a second, Dave?
Sure.
So, maybe, okay, and this is only because I was listening to that BBC radio documentary about Skull and Bones. Could it be
that? I haven't heard that one, but I know.
Okay, yeah, I had on the source code. You haven't heard my source code for today yet. I found this half-hour documentary. The BBC actually went to Yale, went to the campus, and knocked on the door at Skull and Bones. And, you know, of course, they weren't let in, but they talked to different people. They had audio of one of the initiation rites, which is, you know, guys screaming like, squealing like pigs, but that's pretty typical. Shocking for the British, no doubt. But, you know,
I mean, the British never do that. is that right?
Well, they don't know.
I'm being your straight man here.
No. They don't.
The
British don't know about college initiation. You know, it's like that's a very foreign concept to them. Yeah, no, they don't have that.
So the idea was that they're all the skull and bones guys are all sort of on the same team, and no matter what happens, I don't believe that for a second.
No. Okay.
I don't believe that. No, I don't think so. I mean.
But CNN will only do this if they have something to gain, and if they really made such a radical switch that you're seeing, and I don't have it on here, there's got to be some kind of gain in it for them. You know, someone behind the scenes is saying something to make them do that.
Yeah, they made some kind of a deal with Kerry, probably.
Right.
It may not have been. Yeah, I mean, that I don't doubt that kind of stuff happens. Of course it does. I mean, you know, I can extrapolate from my experience in the tech industry that. It's a Time Warner publication, right? CNN is.
Yeah.
And there are other Time Warner publications that if you want to get on the cover of, you have to, first of all, they have to do a deal with you, and they'll never present you in a negative light.
Right.
And then you have to do a deal with them, is that you give them a certain amount of access.
Or how about deregulation?
Yeah, any number of different things. I think in the case of CNN, they're sort of scrambling to try to kill Fox or get on top of Fox again. So if they're going to compete with Fox and Fox is going to be with the Republicans, then they kind of have to be with the Democrats. I don't really care how they do it.
Listen to what you just said. That sounded like fucking science fiction. The Democrats have CNN and the Republicans have Fox.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's so surreal.
Well, at the same time, so we envision a better future, right? One where, the people are running the show, that we fulfill all the promise of the founding fathers and whatever, but we need to survive to get to that. And so being highly pragmatic about this, what scares the Jesus out of me is the idea that Bush gets reelected, and all of a sudden, the next domino in the axis of evil is North Korea, and you know that's going to be fought with nuclear weapons, right?
It is. Well, my uncle is now not anymore, but was doing all the negotiations with North Korea.
Really?
Yeah, he's Donald Gregg. Look him up.
And so what would he say?
He hates the whole Bush administration. He's a very staunch Republican. He was personal advisor to Bush Sr. when he was VP. And then he was ambassador to Korea. Remember when they were throwing rocks and shit over the wall in the embassy in Korea?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, my uncle was living there at the time.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, and so he heads up the Korean Society. KoreanSociety.org, and he's told me literally. I've seen him on CNN a couple times as well. He's told me literally. He said, "Adam, they have the capability and they will use it because they're just being pushed into a corner."
Yeah, yeah, I've heard that too. But if you stop and listen to what the North Koreans say, there actually is a logic to it, and they're pretty freaked out, and they didn't like it when Bush called them the Axis of Evil,
yeah, of course.
And then when we invaded Iraq, of course, that convinced them that they were next. And, I think that actually that's fairly rational. I think there's a pretty good chance they are next. And, so a second Bush administration, we're going to see the successor to the Patriot Act, and we're going to see the successor to the war in Iraq. And he's not going to have any troops to send into Korea because they're all committed in Iraq. So what choice does he have but to send in the bombers and the heavy, the heavy bombs?
Yeah.
And does he have any compunction about that? And no, I don't think he has any filters that say, this is a line that we won't cross. I'd love to hear him say that. I'd love to hear him say,
that's a line we won't cross, yeah.
He won't say it. In fact, I think he said the opposite, that that basically all of our tools are on the table and we'll use them all if we feel we need to. So we're not doing any of the things. They give Kerry shit for having voted for energy conservation and higher taxes on gasoline and stuff like that. But stop and think about it. I actually think we should be paying more for gasoline. I think that we're selling our country. We're selling out real cheap, by using more gas than we can afford to use. So, anyway, so well, buy a little bit of time.
The bottom line is, or my bottom line, is that no matter what's being said, what documentaries are being made, you know, what allegations are being thrown out there, what military service records, I don't have one, by the way, are being disputed, refuted, etc., the scariest thing we can do is promise to go vote.
Yeah.
That's gonna scare anybody.
Yeah, for now at least. I mean, you know, some people think that if Bush loses the election, then, well, you know, the vote didn't count for some reason. You know?
Oh, you think there'll be another another 2000 moment there?
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see if Bush actually goes to Alabama and Mississippi, which were both, or Alabama especially, which was hit by this hurricane. But if he only goes to Florida, you know, I mean...
That'll be pretty transparent if he does that.
Yeah, he's going to Florida for sure, though. I mean, that's where all the votes are, so... Okay. Anyway, so let's see. What else should we talk about today?
Well, there's something I want to talk to you about.
Go for it.
Yeah.
I'm all ears.
Because we touched on it briefly in a phone conversation a couple days ago about A9.com, the new search engine from, is Amazon and Alexa?
Yeah, and I think it's built on Google.
On Google, yeah. See, it seems like I'm getting kind of the same results. Do they license that from Google? Yeah. They have to, I guess, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's built right on top of Google. Yeah.
Okay.
That's why it's so weird that people say that this is like a, you know, threatening to Google in some way, because it looks like that Google has all the upside Amazon does in it, you know.
Now, have you used it?
Enough to know that, yes, I have used it enough to know that I'm not interested in it, yeah.
Mm.
I mean, it, you know, it's hard to, somebody asked, like, why I still use IE after all of the, you know, spyware and adware and all that crap. I'm still dealing with it. It's not over. All the assholes that, you know, had figured out how to invade before Service Pack 2
are now invading SP2, you know? Right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're totally there. They're all over it.
And now I heard there's this. You can get a virus.
Hey, wait,
through,
did you
through
just
JPEGs?
Hear that? Did you?
No.
That I didn't know that. Did you hear a beep just now?
No.
Oh, I just heard it. Okay.
You have call waiting?
Because it was. No, I don't have call waiting, but it was really interesting. No, my email just checked itself. Right.
Oh, okay. You got a beep. Yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't hear the beep, did you?
No, because that's not running through the... I've learned about this. That's not running through your audio driver.
Right, because if you did hear the beep, that would mean I could play music on the set.
Oh, I wish.
And you would hear it. Yeah, would that
be
something?
I wish. No,
because, you know, the song for the day, the song for today is... I stumbled across it. It's legalized. It's like
legalize it. Don't criticize it. Legalize it, yeah, yeah. And I will advertise it. Some call it tampee. Some call it call it ganja. Never mind, got to legalize it. And don't criticize it. Legalize it, yeah, yeah. And I will advertise. Smoking and players of instrument too. Legalize it, yeah, yeah. That's the best thing you can do. Doctors smoking.
so you got to legalize it. And don't criticize it. Legalize it, yeah, yeah. And I will advertise it. Good for the food, good for asthma, good for tuberculosis, even humara thrombosis. Got to legalize it. Don't criticize it. Legalize it, yeah, yeah. I will advertise it. Birds eat it. Ants love it. Ghosts love to play with it. So you got to legalize it. And don't criticize it.
Legalize it, Peter Tosh. Okay.
I can't. Yeah, and I can't imagine the RIAA suing you over using that one.
Hey, hey baby, this is coming to you from Belgium where everything's legal.
Yeah, exactly. This is coming to you from the United States where absolutely nothing is legal.
My daughter's sitting here. She's on the other side of the room. She said, no, it's not. She's sitting behind her computer downloading
coming
MP3s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Interesting. So, and you let her do that.
Do I let her download MP3s?
Yeah, do you?
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about this a lot.
Cool.
She's a big fan of Good Charlotte, and I mean like a really big fan.
I've
got
illegal MP3s of the new CD.
Yeah, she has. Okay, so that's Christina in the background. She always buys the CDs. In fact,
what did she say?
What
did she say?
She said, "I'm downloading illegal MP3s of the new album as we speak." but she's going to go out and buy the album because she likes them. She supports them. I didn't force her to do that. She buys CDs. Why do you buy? Christina, come over here for a second. Come over here for 1 second. Yeah. Hold on a second, Dave. Let's get her in here.
Hey, Christine. Nice to meet you. Do you really think that you're... Do you think...
You know what? I just realized something. I just realized something that her voice may not have been recorded. So I'll just recap what she said. She said that it's taking so long for the album to come out that she's downloading MP3s of people who've recorded it. But when it does come out, she's going to buy the album. She always does.
Now, do you think that that's typical, or do you think she's unusual in that?
I think she's very typical. I think that's what most kids do. I mean, the thing is, they get all this, you know, all this entertainment through MTV, and yeah, I'm sure I don't know what it's like in the States, but here we have four different music video channels. You know, it's like she sits in front of the TV with MSN. She's chatting to her friends. You know, they can SMS onto the screen. I don't think she does that, but, you know, people, and there's a lower third banner running across the screen, so people are basically chatting via SMS that's then broadcast on television. So you know, they're watching the videos, and it's they're consuming it, you know, and then they only buy the stuff that they really, I think, really want to support, that they're big fans of. They don't just go out and buy
stuff. I got to interrupt you for a second. They're running a great ad for Carrie on CNN right now, which you can see it. They use a technique that is incredible. I just tuned into it. They have speaking at the beginning, sort of saying something really stupid about it as an economic program.
Yeah.
But they have this picture postage stamp size. Oh. And it's kind of grainy. And then they get the citizens come on and comment. And they're full screen and it's all high fidelity. They make this like a tiny little idiot. <It's beautiful.
laughs> but that's how it works, man. That's how it works.
I know. It's beautiful. It's great. We got to copy that shit.
I told you.
This has got to go. We're going all the way with this thing, Adam. We're going to go we're going to do radio, broadcast radio, and then we're going to go for TV too.
Why not? As long as I can stay at home and use my webcam, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you might have to have a camera crew there along with your webcam.
Oh, boo! Bah,
humbug. You don't think so, huh?
Well, no, I don't need
that. Been there, done that. Right?
We did our reality show that was broadcast here, and we got humongous ratings. Even on the third repeat of the show, we did it with one cameraman. Who was using a DV cam, which is basically a prosumer device. We had two sets of wireless mics, one of which I'm still using now. And we did the whole show with one editor on Macs with Final Cut Pro, and it was broadcast nationally. Didn't hurt the ratings that it was done on prosumer.
All right, so you know how to make it look good with...
Definitely.
With people's hardware, basically.
But that's what it is. All this stuff with these radio shows or audio shows, it's the same thing. You got to know what you're doing. It's all in there. You can achieve the same, if not better, results as you could in a professional setup. There's no two ways about it.
All right, let's go through some of the hot items for today. I want to talk with you a little bit about the Firefox RSS. Controversy that sort of popped up today. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I've been following the. Now let me see if I understand what's happened. That Firefox, which is that a Mozilla derivative? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a web browser, and it now can recognize RSS feeds. And from what I understand, it's doing kind of like half, or maybe even 1/8 of what Apple is planning with Safari and RSS. We can basically bookmark an RSS feed. And then from that bookmark, you get a hierarchical menu with new elements that have shown up. Is that kind of what it does?
Yeah, it sounds like we finally got to the bottom of it, and that's pretty much what you're seeing. And they only understand feeds that are of the title, link, description format. And so if you, with my blog, only some of the items actually have titles and almost never have links. And
if you're missing one of those elements, then it doesn't take.
I'm not exactly sure how crippled it is, but yeah, I mean, it either doesn't recognize the feed at all, or it only recognizes items that have those three elements. But it's I don't know how to say this politely, so I'm not.
Don't. This is what trade secrets are supposed to be about, Dave.
Well, I know, but people get so sensitive, and they think that if I say something that isn't positive about their, aggregator or whatever.
Well, then just don't say something negative. Just it's positive criticism. Come on, this is what people want to hear about that.
No, oh, good. Well, thanks for that. I really, it helps. But, there's really it reminds me of what happened with outliners in the 80s. I mean, we came out with an outliner and designed a product for organizing your thinking, and that was the center of what we. Everything was judged, every feature was judged by how well it suited that application. And then the word processor guys, WordPerfect first, and Ultimate, and then Microsoft, they all sort of added features that they called outlining, but didn't do that. They didn't support the ideation creative process.
Mm-hmm.
And they were basically formatting. I mean, WordPerfect basically, what they called outlining allowed you to put Roman numerals and then section headings. They basically used the Harvard Outline format. It was a printing formatting thing. So, but they called that outlining, and people got really confused,
right.
Which was really unfortunate. And the whole idea got diluted,
it turned into PowerPoint. Outliners turned into PowerPoint.
Right. Well, even that was a better outliner than WordPerfect was. or Word. At least they were doing what outliners were roughly supposed to do, although not all that well. But the same thing's happening with aggregators now, and I'm really disturbed. Now, this is the extreme example. That's not an aggregator. It's not even very useful. It's sort of a gimmick to be able to say...
To say okay, we, RSS for, inside, that's what it's for.
Yeah, we do RSS, and then what happens is people look at it and they go, well, geez, that doesn't seem very useful. And then they conclude from that that RSS is
RSS
very
sucks,
useful.
Right, right, right.
Right, and it's and I hate to see that happen. So, and I think that, you know, if they want to support RSS in the browser, the way to do it is to basically emulate a web server inside the browser and do a real aggregator that goes and gets the news every, you know, period of time, every hour, and then it's to you in reverse chronological order so that you can actually get the leverage that an aggregator provides. So, you know, this is like, once we got to the bottom of it, I go, oh, geez, here we go again, you know. But, you know, I don't think that the feature is worth bending the feeds for. I mean, the feeds are doing something useful, and if the tool doesn't want to do something useful with it, well, you know, maybe they can try again. And, you know, since it's open source, of course, maybe somebody else can help them out there.
Right. Well, I
certainly be willing to help there myself.
Yeah, just from looking at the screenshots, I immediately knew this is something I did not need to download. You know, I was like, no, that's not going to do it for me.
It's 1/1,000,000,000th as interesting as what's going on in the enclosures world, or excuse me.
But we're also running into similar issues there, although from a different vantage point, where on iPodder.org, where, you know, the iPodder is just intended to be very simple. You know, all it's intended to do is to bring in these enclosures from feeds that are subscribed to and drop them onto your MP3 player. That's it. And since there's basically a lack of RSS feeds with enclosures, a couple of developers have said, "Oh well, look, I've modified this now, so it scrapes the HTML, which, although a great feature, you know, it does not. It totally detracts from what, you know, what we're trying to accomplish."
Yeah, that's a sophisticated thought that you want to sort of be a little picky about what you're doing, because you're not just looking for the functionality, right? You're actually trying to evangelize a format. You're trying to get people up to a certain level so that then, presumably, we can ask them to do more, right?
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't necessarily be the end of it, you know. But they have to basically support RSS 2.0 and the enclosure feature, and then, you know, then we're starting to get somewhere. I also see that you're I think you're doing this the right way. That part, it's hard, because what you're trying to do there is say, well, hold on a minute, this isn't, you know, let's not go that route. And I heard you say that in the
source code
that I listened to last night. I haven't listened to the current one yet, but so
don't worry, I said the same thing again.
Yeah, and you're gonna, but that's gonna be the harder one. The one that that's easier is that the continued drill on the need for easy installers.
And
that's also very important, is because the expectation of a user is that, you know, there's a certain level of professionalism that they expect, and if they don't see it, they don't trust it.
Right.
And, you know, it's not entirely logical. You know, it's the inference isn't entirely logical, but people think that way, and programmers generally don't understand that. They don't get it, that people, that they have to cater to people's irrationalities. That's, you know, the unfortunate, or fortunate, actually. There's nothing wrong with giving people what they want if it doesn't get in the way of, you know, of making the whole thing work. The problem is, of course, is when people want things that break, want features that break the basic idea. Like, for example, people wanted WYSIWYG with the web, you know.
Uh-huh.
That was the first thing that, you know, as the web came along, it was the first thing everybody said, well, you know, let me know when this is WYSIWYG. But the problem is the web wasn't a WYSI environment, so it couldn't ever be WYSIWYG. But marketing guys hired programmers, and they said, basically, if you
go make it WYSIWYG.
Right, we'll fire you, and the programmers will come back and say, well, we can't because the web isn't a WYSI environment. And they go, hey, there you go. Programmers are so difficult. They can't just take them over. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I hear you. Actually, it's so funny because I listened to the interaction between you and Andrew Grummet yesterday. And, you know, as the day before that, you were describing, you know, the automated process for creating an RSS feed from a folder of MP3 files, right?
Right.
Using the ID3 information, which was something we had talked about.
Yeah.
And you sort of said, well, you know, this has just got to be made easier, and, you know, I'm sure somebody will figure this out. And as I was thinking it through, I was going, no, it just simply, there are some things that just can't be made easier, and that's one of them. So, you know, Andrew basically said that there's this moment where the user has to create the association between the name of the folder on some hard disk somewhere and a URL that you use to access that folder over the web.
Right.
And I think probably, if I understood what Andrew was saying correctly, I think he probably found the sweet spot in it. However, it's got a flaw to it, which is that you have to be able to run software on your server, and probably so many people don't have the ability to do that that there's probably not. The only way to get around this one, I think, is to offer a hosting service for this stuff, and I don't want to do that.
I think there is another way around it because now you hit on three points. First of all, I think Andrew was the brilliance of what his DIR to RSS script is. The fact that it's doing exactly that. It's sitting in a folder. It's only if you understand the concept of that, then you can understand what's kind of needed. The big problem that we're going to run into with anyone who does something like this regularly and doesn't have money to fuck around with is bandwidth. Storage is one thing. I've just been doing this for a couple of weeks and already have half a gig of MP3 files that I've created. But bandwidth, you get one slash dot and people say, oh, well, let me go listen to all these shows or let me install iPodder. And then you get the 10 most recent entries, or I think I even said a little bit smaller, the 5 most recent entries times an average of 20 megs. So,
yeah, but you're on your way to solving this problem. Okay?
Yeah.
Here's how that's working. The way you're going to solve it, as I see it, okay, is with this mail list that you've got going. What's it called? iPodder Developer?
It's a Yahoo group.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so here's the steps that we go through to solve the bandwidth problem. We know that BitTorrent is at the core of the solution here, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem with BitTorrent, and I found this, after I finally decided to use it, I was in Madison, Wisconsin, few weeks ago, and I was getting ready to go into the Netherlands, not your Netherlands, but,
this is where you called me. This
Canada.
Where you, yeah, this is where you yeah. pinged me and you said,
and I said, Adam,
I
help me. Right. I'll try to find something that I can, download, because none of this shit is downloadable. I mean, they make this big promise that, hey, BitTorrent is so cool, but nobody actually is hosting enough of the content for me actually to be able to download the things that I want, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to use BitTorrent, and I think we do, because that's how we solve the problem, then we have to solve the next problem, which is how can we be sure that there's like at least 5 places to download it from on a given day? Go ahead.
Well, I've been thinking about this because, you're absolutely right. Let me just recount what happened there. You wanted to download some movies. Specifically, you wanted to download some old SNLs, right? Saturday Night Live.
Yep, Saturday Night Live. Yep.
Yeah, which I don't think there are hardly any Saturday Night Live BitTorrents. But I said, BitTorrent really works best when something is new, something is fresh, and everybody wants it, because what you get then is asking people to keep their to keep their application open to see the file is horseshit. That's almost like saying pay me because you're using bandwidth, etc. And you can't count on people to do that; they're going to leech. But with BitTorrent, from what I understand, the brilliance of it is that if you download 1 megabyte, you're probably pushing up 1.5 megs. Okay. So there's a formula in there, and if on one day across a 24-hour spectrum, people say, okay,
yeah, no,
we all want this show, it's going to work.
I'm right there
perfectly
with you. I've already figured that out. We've already
I know,
got
but
that.
Our listeners haven't, Dave.
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot about them. All right. Go ahead. Yeah, I guess you got to include them in here. What the hell?
Oh, fuck them.
Let them figure it out.
Yeah, you figure it out. We'll clutch here.
All right, all right. Let me just summarize what Adam was going to say, okay?
Which is don't forget to mention the porn part.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of porn involved in this, okay? But here's the deal, is that you need to have places that are actually... So a current thing, like your source code, is perfect for BitTorrent, right?
Right.
Because at any given moment, there's one current one, right? Same thing's true with this show, okay? There's only going to be one current one. So what we have to make sure is that before or concurrent with the release of it, we've got 5 people, maybe on a rotating basis, who are willing to have it open. In other words, premeditate that. I'll give you another case in point. The other day, Boing Boing had a BitTorrent of, I forget what it was, but it was, I wish I remembered what it was, but I can't. But it was something that was mildly interesting to me. And I said, okay, Bling Bling's a high-flow blog, right? Mm-hmm. So I figure if I click on the link that I'm going to be able to download this thing. No way. It missed the bootstrap. It didn't have enough. So in other words, to make BitTorrent work, it's not enough just to put up the torrent file and hope for the best. You actually also have to get five or whatever the number is.
Well, let me throw this at you for a second. I've posted a couple of BitTorrent RSS feeds, just testing stuff. And what I found, the bootstrap that I would use in this case is I have a BitTorrent client and server running on a server in my data facility. So I upload my torrent, and it's basically sitting there open. So it always has one node. My theory was there should be no difference between me having a web server with an MP3 file on it that people can click and download it to me having a file on a web server that you get to through BitTorrent. It should make no difference, right? You don't need five people.
And did it? What?
Yeah, no, I've had no problems at all. But, that's a bootstrap because you still, the ultimate fantasy is to just have my computer at home, just leave, let that be the one node if I'm publishing. And if you're publishing, if you want to broadcast, there's going to be some pain somewhere, right?
I don't have a problem with that. I think that I'm willing to do an experiment with this if you want. Mm-hmm. First of all, let me ask you a question. Are you willing to host these things on a torrent server up on your place? I mean,
these shows? Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitely. Good.
Oh, of course, you've been doing it with the daily source code. So why?
Well, the source code isn't. Exactly. That's not a BitTorrent download. But
Why not?
For exactly the reasons you just mentioned, I didn't want people to fall off the edge of the map. I want them to get the fucking show.
Yeah. Well, okay. Maybe we ought to do both, though, so that if people want to help bootstrap. I mean, the beauty of the mail list that you've got there is that it is sort of. It's like the early days of Frontier, the mail list. We went for like 2 years without a single flame. It was just like this great community, and everybody was pitching in to help. Actually, it was more than 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so it's a great time to say, okay, let's do some things that are, like good for the internet, and they'll go for it, I think. And this is a beautiful thing because it doesn't require that you be a developer to do it. You just have to be a technical user. To set up BitTorrent on your desktop, that's not a big deal. If you've got a good pipe to the internet, then that's great. I now have a great pipe. I've got a high bandwidth cable set up here.
I'm smoking a great pipe, Dave.
Yeah, you're... Oh, man, well, I'm going to get you... God will get you... Maude used to say that. She used to say, Walter, God will get you for that one. A couple of questions. I want to switch...
Can I just finish up on the BitTorrent really quickly? Because I think that I'd love to do that. And, of course, I'm going to host all the tests that we're going to do. But I think the real, as we say, the egg of Columbus is combining iPodder with publishing and receiving and BitTorrent all in one. I mean, if we can have one thing and it just, you have two folders on your desktop, one is for receiving, one is for sending, and the stuff that comes into the receive folder, it may go automatically somewhere else, but I think it's got to be that simple.
It does. And I would encourage you at this moment not to worry too much about the brain dead simplicity. I think what you're doing is incredibly valuable. You're defining the feature set of what the ideal product will be. And I plan to work on this and that doesn't mean I'm the only one that plans to work on this. Mm-hmm. But after the open source release of Frontier has happened, I hope to get some developers to work with me on this. I've already talked with a few people on exactly that and create something that's ROMable.
Yeah.
That can be put onto
What do you mean ROMable, Dave? Like,
I mean ROMable in the sense that I don't literally mean nothing is really ROMable anymore. ROMable means it used to be I don't know if your Mac has a ROM BIOS, but my PC does.
Yeah, read only memory.
It's sort of it's read only memory, right? Yeah. And it's like the lizard brain. It's the lizard brain of the lizard brain. Of the PC, right? I mean, there's still DOS is sitting in there.
Probably, okay, that's where all the core shit sits, right?
Yeah, it's like, you build... these things are all piles of stuff built on top of each other. And the beauty, why the Ron Bias was so important in the when it came out, which was like 81 or something like that, was that you could be absolutely sure that it was the same on every computer. And Compaq sort of like created the mold. They didn't break the mold. They created the mold by directly emulating the ROM BIOS without using the ROM BIOS. And do you know Rich Levendog?
No.
You know that Rich?
No.
Rich is he's in sort of like he's in your sixth degree. I mean, he's a friend of mine, so he's like second degree for like 6 degrees of
separation.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Rich was one of the original authors of the ROM BIOS.
He's a friend of a friend.
He's a friend of a friend, and he's a VC in Boston. I just got an email from him, actually.
Uh-huh.
I also got an email from Joshua Allen at Microsoft reminding me, he says, "Welcome to Seattle. You've only got a week or two to register to vote, so your next first priority should be to register."
Good point. Yeah, good point.
Sends me a link, and oh, absolutely. And I have to get a library card, too. Anyway, that's a whole other subject. Listen, I wanted to ask you, let's come back. We'll probably do another one of these. We'll probably do this every fucking day. You know what I mean?
We'll do it as often as we goddamn well please, Dave.
There you go. Right. So the thing I want to ask you now is sort of like, first of all, okay, so we've got this, apparently have this working. Your machine didn't blow up, right?
Oh, God. Oh, you're right? Inviting Murphy in the door.
No, it didn't. I'm knocking. I'm crushing. I'm standing under garlic.
Wouldn't it be horrible after 41 minutes if it crashed? No. We don't want that to happen. I'm knocking.
No, we don't
wood.
Want that to happen. Okay, no. So like, it didn't crash, and we're very pleased that it didn't, and we're totally not worthy, and we don't deserve it. Okay, so it seems like this much works, right?
Yeah.
So now the question is, could we have a second, a third person involved in this conversation using this technology?
The answer
is, we're
going
to do something. What?
You ready for the answer?
Yeah.
The answer is yes.
I'm sitting down. Whoa.
The answer is yes. And because actually, I'm using iChat AV, which is Apple's instant message client that is compatible with AOL's instant message client, which is how we're setting up this conversation. But iChat AV has the capability to bring up to 10 different people in a voice chat.
Yeah.
So
another question. Next question. Could we listen to a tune right now?
We could listen to a tune. The only problem is you wouldn't hear it, and that's the part that I'm working on. Because
right, but do you have one queued up right now by any chance?
Oh, I can have one queued. Well, see, now the only thing is, I'm really worried about doing this during our first show.
Oh, let's not do that. Okay, this first one's going to be plain Jane.
Yeah, but we'll try that on the next run. Yeah.
Okay, next one. We'll do it early so that if it screws up.
But here's the problem, Dave. Let me just explain the problem, because this is it's driving me. I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about how to solve this fucking problem.
Okay.
Let me see if I can approach this. Okay, so the Mac has uses drivers for audio. I think that's the same with any computer. You can choose between your internal microphone or your line in, and then you can set up these virtual devices that let you, and this is the crazy part, because I'm familiar with it, the concept from the studio, you can patch audio from one application to the other. So what is needed is I need to patch the output of anything that I play. So let's say I use iTunes or a QuickTime player. I have to patch that output into the input of my iChat AV client so that it'll be acting like a microphone sending that down the line to you. Which also means, I have to patch my microphone through to you. At the same time, I have to patch my microphone to the speakers, so I can record my mic. I mean, it's driving me fucking crazy, because I can record everything. I can play a song now, and I'd be jamming around with it. But I'd have to have a way to mute you, because if you don't shut up, then you're gonna be talking through the record. B, I'd like you to hear it.
What's so bad about that? I don't see what the problem is.
As long as you're singing on key, it doesn't matter. You're right.
I never sing on key. What are you talking about?
No, but
I love doing the little. I love the sort of like I'm emulating you. I'm trying to learn how to do this. I mean, you have to talk through at least the beginning.
Oh yeah, that's you got to talk up the intro. Yeah. Oh, definitely. See, that's the whole trick. The trick that this is what DJs in the '80s totally were into, and I still do. It's crazy. I still do this in the car. So you hear a song, and what you want to do is you want to be talking. Then you hit the song, and it starts, and you know roughly how long the intro is, so you can fit your story in. And then you kind of want to end up with saying, "Well, and everybody, here's Madonna." And then the minute you shut up, you want the vocals to start, which is a very, very 80s DJ way of doing it, which a lot of people hate.
Really? I love it. And I love the way you do it, too. You've been getting better and better and better on a daily source code. I find iTunes, by the way, that it was an article in the New York Times where people were, like, inferring mystical qualities to the choices their iTunes was making, their iPod was making, when you put the random song on. I've been finding that that's absolutely true.
Oh, when it plays random?
When I play my own recording... like today, I had the Not a Morning Coffee Notes. That was the title of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the song it played right after that was Nowhere Man. Now, of course, the iPod didn't pick that. It was the next in alphabetical order, right?
Mm-hmm.
But boy, was it perfect. I mean, wow. here's this guy making all these animal sounds and barnyard sounds and what's the comment on him? Well, he's a nowhere man. It's like, okay, got it.
Well, but see, I use my iPod differently. I can't do that because if I put it on random, if I just let it scan through the library, I'm going to pick up Christmas songs,
right.
I'm going to pick up
different
audio. Yeah, stuff that I don't want to listen to.
No, that didn't happen. I didn't use the random. I don't use it either. I can't for that reason because it's not, whatever.
Although I wouldn't put it past Apple to have some kind of algorithm in their quote-unquote randomizer that may even look for genres or something. I mean, it's certainly something that would be a nice feature. I mean, I think you and I have talked about this before. Radio stations have formats. They play a 60s song at the top of the hour followed by an 80s song, then a new song, whatever. It depends on what the format is. What a great feature to have formats generated in your MP3 player.
Well, that someday we'll be doing that for sure. There's no question about it.
Well, we can do it now. Yeah. I mean, you can remember, I created a whole thing in Radio User Land that did just that.
You did?
Yeah. Don't you remember that script, that copy-paste script that had Windows flying all over the place?
Oh, yeah. Put a bookmark down on that. I want to tell that story someday because... That's an amazing story. I mean, that is to me the essence of where the users and developers get together party is that you, at that point, were a user and now you're on your way to becoming a developer, but you were a user that was so motivated that you didn't take no for an answer, right?
Well, I'm still doing that.
Exactly, and that's the charm. I mean, that's why I like you. That's why you're my buddy. Yeah.
Oh, a lot of love in the room, boy.
I know, guys. He's all right.
Hey, we have.
Why did I say that?
I don't know. Yeah. It was quite disgusting.
I live that one down.
So, right back at you. So we have 12 minutes to go until we've recorded a whole hour. I think we should limit ourselves to an hour.
Oh, is that our budget? We're only doing an hour? Okay, great.
No, whatever you want. No, but it's...
My car is great. I got to actually do some stuff today.
Well, I wanted to entice you to talk about BloggerCon so that way you're not trying to promote it yourself, but fuck, I want to talk about it because, all I know is November 6th. I know it's in Palo Alto. I know what I'm doing, but what the hell is going to happen?
No, you don't know. Let's talk about what you're doing. Let's do that. This is the perfect time to do that.
Should I tell you what I thought I was doing?
Let me just sort of go over, just a refresher. You have been to BloggerCon, but you didn't go to the second one, right?
Well, my wife became ill, so I had to turn around. I couldn't get on the plane.
Right. Obviously, there was a good reason for you not to go to the second one, but things sort of changed at the second one, or the whole concept got refined more. And then after the conference, Len Pryor from Microsoft wrote a piece called, he described it as the unconference.
So what does he do at Microsoft?
He's Scoble's boss. That's probably the best way.
That's a heavy job, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Danger
somebody's
pay.
Gotta do it. Yeah, somebody's got to do it, I guess. I'm sure he would like to be known as something other than Scoble's boss. I'm sure he actually is. I've actually known him for quite a while, and he's a really good guy. And he really understood, I thought, put it very well, what the whole thing was. Basically, it's a conference, right? It's called BloggerCon, and the con stands for conference or convention, whichever you like better. And there's no audience, there's no speakers, there's no panels. Which sort of forces you to think about, you know, well, what is it if it's not, if there's no audience and there's no speakers and there's no panels? But it's very consistent in my mind with how blogs work, which is that basically it's not hierarchical. There's no blog that's more authoritative than any other blog, or at least not. No formal structure that dictates that that should always be so, right? Obviously, some blogs have more readers than others, but it doesn't. There's nothing in sort of the structure of the blogosphere that makes it that way. So, while at one time I'm sure I had more readers than Glenn Reynolds does, I'm sure now Glenn has an order of magnitude more readers than I do.
Or as we say, more hits than Adam Curry has in a coffee shop in Amsterdam.
There you go. That's a good one. And that's the way it should be, right? I mean, it wasn't designed to make, you know, for the greater glory of any person, that the idea is bigger than any one person. And so that, and then, you know, I also wanted to try to solve the problem that most conferences have, which is that all the interesting stuff happens out in the hallways, you know. I wanted to make it more likely that the interesting stuff would happen in the room. So, so we said, okay, great. Basically, we just want to have discussion leaders and topics and rooms. And basically, we'll try to work to get the people who we would put on a panel in the room, but we don't give them any special recognition, nor do we preclude the possibility that there will be other people in the room who may have more to contribute than those people.
Do I get a badge?
Of course you get a badge. Everybody gets a badge.
That says speaker? Yeah.
No, your badge does not say speaker.
Your
badge may say discussion leader. It's a, you know, and, right. And the idea is that basically you stand up in front of the room and you give a few minutes worth of, you know, introduction to the topic, and then, you know, you call on somebody and you say, okay, what do you think about this? And then you call on somebody else. Now, they don't even have to put their hands up. In fact, you should call on people who don't put their hands up. So that sort of keeps everybody sitting on the edge of their chair.
Now, will it be like the first year? Because I went to one of the sessions, the first BloggerCon, and which was very informal. I think it was Joy Ito. It was very informal. The thing that was I had never seen before, apparently it's pretty normal, was there was a projector had an IRC chat up on the screen behind him, and people were conversing about what was going on in the room in, you know, in like their own chat. Is that something that happened at the second BloggerCon as well?
I don't think it happened that much at the first one. I mean, I think that was more of a decision that Joey made, that's how he wanted to do it.
Oh, okay.
And,
I didn't like it.
It's certainly, yeah, to be truthful, neither did I. I mean, but, they, you know, it's very much, I mean, you know, after we do the prep, and, we'll talk about it a few times before.
Yeah, that's good. Let's use trade secrets for that as well, Dave.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we do that.
But I just want to get this across, is that after we've talked about it, it's your show. And I had that happen, for example, with the second BloggerCon, where, one of the things I wanted to come out of that conference with was an idea of what the relationship between blogs and journalism was. And I had the kickoff session be led by Jay Rosen, who's the chairman of the journalism department at NYU, and an authority on journalism, if there ever was one. And instantaneously, as soon as he took, started up the discussion, he started with a premise that completely made it impossible for my goal for the whole conference. It's like I'm sitting there, I didn't say a word, and I didn't, my body language hopefully didn't communicate. I participated in the discussion, and you just sort of, it's sort of like a blog. You just accept what you get. You know, you don't know who's going to show up in the room. You don't know what they're going to say. You don't know. You don't even know what the discussion leader is going to do. And whether they're going to follow the rules. There are some very basic rules, however, though. If they get broken, we will stop a session. People are not allowed to do advertising. I forget. I'll have to review.
Advertising is a big one, because that's what most conferences are, is people talking about their
right.
own shit that they're selling. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be really careful about that. I mean, if you feel at some moment that there's, you know, a vendor in the audience, if there's a vendor in the room,
right?
I have to teach myself, right? Discipline myself, right? But if there's a vendor in the room and you feel at this moment you need to have what, you know, something about their product come into the discussion, that's your call. You can call on them and ask them to talk about it.
Okay, right.
You know, but it's not their choice to do it. It's your choice. You know, so it's a, think of yourself as a reporter, okay? And the room are your, is your sources. They're the people you're interviewing.
Right, so I can, just, I can pick, I can pick from them and do stuff with them.
Right, and you're there in service of the room.
Right.
In other words, you're trying, and in this case, clearly, I think what we want you to talk about is, you know, is this what we're doing right now, which is sort of like, how does the, you know, blogosphere get, you know, how does it, how would you describe what we're doing right now, Adam?
I don't know.
That's what you're going to have to do. That's your
homework assignment. I know one thing. yeah, I get to drop a Silicon Valley name on you. John Gage from Sun once told me.
Yeah.
How was that? How cool was that? John Gage from Sun once told me.
Well, excuse me while I genuflect.
he said, you know, if you got to stand up in front of an audience and talk about anything, make sure you just talk about something you know a lot about. You know, you can twist that into any topic. So
yeah, but you see, we're not doing any of that. You're not talking here, and it's not an audience. So, John Gage, thank you very much.
I think what I'll do is I'm going to bring in a boombox, and lead off with a song of the day. That's how I'm going to start my
that's perfect.
Discussion.
Actually, you could. There you go. Now you're on to it.
Basically, that's what I want to do.
If you look at the session as a big blog post, then you're doing great. And of course, your blog posts are audio, so you're all set.
Yeah. Good. So
November 6th, Stanford Law School. Palo Alto, California.
Can people still come, or is this thing booked? What's the?
It's pretty booked. We can probably make some room for people. It kind of depends. My job for the next couple of weeks now is to fill out the grid and then work with the discussion leaders, such as yourself.
Do we want to set up an RSS feed with enclosures with the audio of the sessions? Or is that
we still haven't quite figured out how we're doing the audio podcast yet, and I'm gonna need help with that. So I better get busy. You know, now that I've got my living thing settled here in Seattle, now I pretty much have, that's what I have to do.
When do you go up to Palo Alto?
Well, I'll be making probably maybe three between now and then. To me this is like, you know, I've set it up so that going to, you know, the Bay Area is like going to New York was when I was in Boston. It's a very easy trip, so I'll be probably going a few times. But we need to get a write up. Why don't we announce your session first? So why don't we
give me until Monday and then I'll write up my session.
We'll figure it out. I think I have a write-up of the session that you didn't do at the last
time. That was, it was Personal TV Networks, although it's changed a little bit. And I'm really wary of talking about video at this moment because you see how much confusion there is with MP3. Well, you see, there's so much confusion with MP3s by itself, just people understanding what this is. But you get to video, then, you know, streaming and video on demand and all these buzzwords pop
up.
Forget
about that shit. We're not interested in streaming. We're only interested. MP3 is very important. We can't give on that one because that gives us the control.
It sure
that's
does.
What we want.
It sure does.
As users, it means we can put this stuff wherever we want to, and you know. So that's how we. Yeah. Okay. Well, we can edit it. Let's just see what we have.
Okay.
And we'll go from there. Thanks for bringing this up. I really need to get working on this. So you've helped me do that.
That's what I'm here for, Dave. I'm your personal little tickler.
Thank you.
Do you remember those? What was it? TSRs.
Yeah.
A DOS tickler?
those were the days.
Terminate, stay ready. Right. Was it Terminate, stay ready? Was that it?
Yeah. That's what we should do with Bush.
TSR Bush. Developers TSR Bush.
I didn't say that, actually. No, I didn't say that.
I did. Hey, I'm voting. I'm an American. I can vote.
Yeah, I'm an American. You know, we like to miss day resident.
Yeah, well, we
would make a Yeah. He would, let me just add this. He would make a great former president. Really.
All right. Hey, now we're getting silly. Now we're really getting going.
Yeah, right at the last minute. Well, next time we'll, you know, well, next time we have it to look forward to, that there's no more, we won't be running out when we start it.
Yeah, we lost a lot of energy in the first hour of dicking around of, you know, because we got to talk about where, the, you know, the whole concept behind trade secrets. We'll do all that at, on the next show. And and I'm really looking forward to some feedback. So you can send it to dave@scripting.com or adam@curry.com.
Yeah, we're going to start a blog for this. I got to go reserve a domain name. I'm not even going to say what it is.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Get that all set up right now.
Yeah, okay. So I'll take care of the audio hosting and all that crap. Will you do the weblog?
Cool.
Okay.
Totally. I'm all over it.
Now, let me just say that we've been talking for an hour. A normal phone conversation would have cost about $40 to call from Belgium to Seattle. We don't have a friends and family plan yet together, Dave and I, although we have considered it. And the and we've recorded this. The quality, I got to listen to it on some speakers, but I think it was outstanding. And I'm, as a broadcaster, I'm amazed what we've just done, and the fact that within probably an hour or so, or it'll take me a little while to upload on my cable modem, you know, people will be able to listen to it from Venezuela to God knows where,
Palo Alto.
To Palo Alto, exactly,
and New York City and skyscrapers and everything. Yeah. Hey, listen, great show, Adam. Did he crap out? Did you go? Hello? Hello, hello, hello. Bing, 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 bing.
Okay, you're not going to believe what happened. My it is time to end the show because the battery on my mic died, so now I'm on the internal mic.
Okay. Oh, God. I thought you were going to tell me we lost the whole damn thing.
No.
All right, Adam. I'll see you on the web. Thanks very much. Goodbye, everybody.
Okay, and we'll talk to you next time on Trade Secrets. Bye-bye.